Boker Tov, good morning, Erev Shabbat Shalom. We are approaching this Sunday night, B'zal Hashem, the holiday of Sukkot. Today's class should be for the refuah shlema of all the funim, b'chlalam. Chemda barchama chanduzana, el mechana chama rifka, sarabon amin, shalom, sarad, David ben achal, yafa, b'dor, rifka, b'dachav, rifka, b'lser, shalom, yisef, ha'im, l'am, shalom, ha'na, yafa, ben yinam, yabudim, ha'im. Dina bat Aharon tamar bracha bat Avraham Hashem Rafael Eliyahu ben Yosef Yisrael ben Shlomo Avdila Reyon Devorah ben Daniel. You know, we'll spend about 10 minutes to talk about the holiday of Sukkot. As we're approaching the holiday of Sukkot, I think it's just as it's important to focus on the high holidays, what's the correct mindset. I think it's just as important to have the correct mindset going into the holiday of Sukkot. When the holiday of Sukkot arrives, what's your feeling? What do you feel?
Happiness,
okay. What else do you feel? Right now we're sitting in something like a sukkah.
You feel changed. Relaxed, I feel
you feel more secure.
Relaxed. Secure. You feel secure in the sukkah?
Because what is it? The clouds? How do you say it?
The clouds of glory? Okay, very good. So David's referring to Gemara. Let's talk about why we sit in sukkah. So the Gemara brings two reasons. Reason number one is the Gemara says the Jewish people, as they went through the desert, they were protected by the clouds of glory. And the sukkah is in order to commemorate and remember those clouds of glory that protected Am Yisrael. So we sit in sukkah. Another reason the Gemara brings, second reason, is no, the Jewish people in the desert, the Jewish people actually sat in sukkahs. They sat in huts in the desert to protect them from the sun. So we actually sit in the sukkah to remember. Okay, this is the reason David was mentioned. But what's the mindset you're supposed to have? You're supposed to be thinking, you know, I'm sitting in the sukkah for shade. Yeah, you are. You're sitting in the sukkah for shade. You're sitting in the sukkah, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of God, of course. But something beyond that point. What is an idea maybe we can think of that can take us through the holiday of sukkah? So I want to share a story. This story from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, who we learned this book on Lashon Hara, he wrote many, many, many books.
The light story?
No, not that one. Okay, but there's a story from the Chafetz Chaim. There was one time, somebody came to visit the Chavetz Chaim in his house. Now, if you knew the Chavetz Chaim, he lived about 100 years ago. The Chavetz Chaim halfway, in his home, he had a very, 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 you know, nothing in his house. There was nothing in his house. He had a little bit, the minimal amount of furniture. He had one chair, one table. You know, not like you walk into a house today, like you walk into a Kings Point house, you see like a 5,000 square foot house. No. The Chavetz Chaim had a very pashut, simple apartment with a chair, maybe not even a couch. Who knew? A very tiny old furniture just to get by. And so someone, a very wealthy follower of his, came into his house and came to visit him and said, Gaon, a Chavetz Chaim. He said, I don't understand. You're living here in this world. You're one of the biggest rabbis in today's generation. And you're living with nothing. So minimal. Why don't you let me take care of you? I'll renovate your whole house. I'll take you out of the house for a week. I'll gut renovate your house. I'll bring brand new furniture, make you a nice, beautiful apartment, and come back in. He said, no, I don't need that. So he told the guy, the businessman, he said, let me ask you a question. He said, do you ever travel for business? He says, yeah, all the time, every week. So he said, when you travel, any of you travel for business? When you travel for business, if you ever travel for business, where do you stay when you travel for business? When you travel for business, if you're traveling every week, generally, when people travel every week, they don't stay in the nicest hotel in the world. They're going and staying in a Certo Perto hotel, one bedroom, you know, just to get by. So he says to the guy, he says to the businessman, he says, when you're traveling for business, how come you're staying in such an ugly Holiday Inn? What do you call it? In a motel. Right? Why are you staying in one of those? Why don't you stay in the St. Regis, beautiful, $2,000 a night? Why are you staying in such an ugly hotel? So he said, no. He said, Rabbi, you're misunderstanding. So when I'm traveling on the way, I'm not going to spend extreme amounts when I'm traveling and waste my money while traveling in my own set home that I'm sitting there every single day, every single night. My whole life is spent over there. That's where all of my time and efforts go. That's where I'm going to put the money in. That's where come look at my own house. Look how beautiful it is. So he said, that's exactly my answer. He said, I'm here in this world, I'm traveling. He said, I'm not here to stay. He said, all of us are here traveling. He said, if you get mixed up here in this world and you think that we're here to stay, you missed out. And I'm not trying to, you know, convince people not to have comfortable homes and not to have furniture. Chas v'shalom. You should have comfortable homes. You should get whatever you need in your house. You should have comfortable furniture. You shouldn't just have a chair and a table. The Chavetz Chaim was very special to have that. You should have beds. You should have couches. You should have whatever you need. Right? But what I'm trying to tell you is understand the lesson of the Chavetz Chaim. And I think this is the lesson we're supposed to be thinking during the holiday of Sukkot. And this is from the Gemara. The Gemara actually says, on the holiday of Sukkot, we leave our house, which is our permanent setting where we sit ourselves throughout the year, and we go into the Sukkah, which is an Arai, which is a temporary set of living. We go into an area to remind ourselves that we're here in this world, we're not here forever. We're here for 120 years maximum. 120 years, and we're trying to make the best of those times, of those years. And we have to continuously be reminding ourselves that we're not here forever. We're not here permanently. We're here for a period of time. And during that period of time, we have to take advantage. You know, in your younger age, you're able to accomplish more. You're able to do more. As you get older, you start to deteriorate. All of us. As anyone gets older, you start to deteriorate. You're not going to be able to accomplish as much as you can now. So take advantage of your time now, because once you get to an older age, you're not able to do as much. And as you get older and older and older, eventually it's over. So this is what I think the reminder is in the holiday of Sukkot. You're coming out, it says, Semi Beit Keva, go out, leave your house from a permanent setting and go into Sukkot Arai, go into a temporary setting to remind yourself that we're here in this world, it's only temporary. Like the Chavetz Chaim is teaching us, when you're walking around this world, the lesson is stronger than the actual essence of what he did. The lesson is that we're here in this world, we're all living in a temporary lifestyle. Don't think that I'm here to stay. There's another story I like to share with this idea. They say this story.
I have a quick question on that.
Yeah.
So, is that the main message of Sukkot? Or like that we're in huts to commemorate that we're only here for temporary time? Because like someone asked me at work and I didn't even know how to answer it.
I think it's one of the main reasons. Of course, it's a commandment from God. There's also an aspect of it's supposed to give us shade. We're supposed to be thinking that it's for shade too. And number three is that we're leaving our permanent setting and going into a temporary setting to remind us about the temporary world. Those are the three main points. But I like to give another story, and I'll finish with this story. I like to say this during the holiday of Sukkot. There was a story of and I don't know 100% if it's 100% true or not, but this is the way the story is told. There was a man, a very, very wealthy man, extremely wealthy, billionaire. And he was passing away, he was on his deathbed. So he called over his children into the room. And he said to them, he said, I'm leaving this world. I'm going to leave you in this world with these two notes, with these two letters. He said, I want you, when I pass away, I want you to open up the first letter and fulfill what I ask from you. After you bury my body, I want you to open up the second letter and fulfill what I say over there. So the children say, okay. They're assuming, they're waiting for that time period that it's going to be a very special request, something, you know, go across the world, across the country. I have billions of dollars waiting over here. So the father passes away, they're mourning, they open up the first letter, and the father says, I want to be buried with my socks. I would like to be buried with my socks. So they start going to each and every rabbi, each and every person asking, and they all say, no, you can't be buried with your socks. You don't get buried with your socks. You're not allowed to get buried with your clothing. You don't get buried with your socks. So they start going, asking each and every person, please, find the leniency. Not zero. They end up burying the father, not able to fulfill his last request. His father was a multi-billionaire. He didn't need his socks, but that was his last request. After they bury the father, they open up the second letter. And the second letter says, you see, my children, you can't even bury me with my own socks. You have so much money here in this world. You take millions, billions of dollars. You're holding so much equity, so much estate. And when you leave this world, you don't leave with any of that money. All of that stays here. What does come with you? Your Torah, your mitzvot, ma'asim tovim, your kind deeds, your actions, what you do between you and Hashem, between you and other people, that's what comes with you. He said, this is the message, and this is the idea, I think, through the holiday of Sukkot. The holiday of Sukkot is supposed to remind us that we're not here forever. We're supposed to remind ourselves that every single moment you have opportunity to perform another mitzvah. Every second you're sitting in the sukkah during the holiday, you're performing another mitzvah, that there's no comparison to that mitzvah. All, you know the pasuk says, "Besukot teshvu shivat yamim." You're supposed to reside. You're supposed to live in the sukkah for 7 days. What does that mean? Live, actually live. Not just to go and sit in there. Everything you do, you should go inside the sukkah and do in there. Literally to dwell. Make your living in the sukkah for those 7 days. Why? Because that's supposed to be your new home. And these 7 days are supposed to remind us for the rest of the year that our time is not here forever. Let's take advantage of every moment that we have here and let's try to get closer and closer to Hashem and bring others closer and closer to Hashem. And try to do as much as we can in this world in order so that we, when we get to that point after 120, that we're coming up to Hashem, we're not coming empty-handed. We don't need our socks. We're coming with our mitzvot. We're coming filled with Torah, filled with ma'asim tovim. And b'zad Hashem, we should all have a beautiful, healthy holiday, filled with simcha. There's a mitzvah to be happy on the holiday, filled with joy, filled with bracha. And of course, we're all hopefully sealed in the Book of Life. Hashem should continue to pour out only bracha v'atzacha v'chol ma'aseh. Chag Sameach, Shabbat Shalom.